us is the reality of what brings the kingdom of God to earth. And so that's what we've been talking about, is Christ in us. And this is that verse, Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when I get excited about Christmas and excited about the kids being here, it's because Jesus had a plan before the world ever was born, before anything ever happened, that, let me put my little thing on. I forgot to. That would have quit flopping around. God had a plan, right? Harvey read the verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not just everlasting life forever in heaven. That's a supernatural life here on earth, abundant life. There's things that God has in store for you that you've never even dreamed of yet. That's God's plan. That's why Jesus came. And so, verse 18, we all know verse 16, but verse 17 and 18 are very important. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. You know, we have good news. It's me. That's, isn't it? It doesn't usually do that. Okay, Marion Lee, would somebody go find, yeah, bring me that thing. The lollipop. So this is coming off. The biggest Sunday of the year, we would not have any problems, right? I think it's just because Kelly and David's sons are here, that just things are going berserk, or it could be Bobby Hoffman's problem. He's been causing me trouble for a long time. I can tell y'all stories about stuff we did when we were in eighth grade. Yeah, our little baseball team we were on, we played baseball. They were so smart. They took us to Heber Springs camping at the end of the year. How dumb could people be? we got caught. Of course we did, you know. We got caught, but it was fun, I think. Okay, so guys, here's the deal. I want to focus here because Isaiah, I want to read a verse here, and it's a very important verse, I think. We just did that one. I want to do Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is a famous Christmas passage, right? For unto us a child is born. Like, do you know the future, the hope of God's glory is in children? It's in the children, in their lives. And it's like, guys, we've been given a great responsibility to raise children. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over the world to bring his kingdom into the world. Guys, these children are here with a purpose. The most important job we ever do is raising our kids. And they don't have to be your flesh and blood kids. Every one of you that smiles at the babies, that encourages them, that teaches them, that gives money to help take care of them. Guys, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it's so funny that God said this through the prophet Isaiah thousands of years ago. A son is given, and this child, the government's going to be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice. And his judgment isn't to condemn us. For Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, right? He came to bring peace. To bring life. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that takes us right back to Colossians. God's glory is going to be released on the earth through his children. And that's you. So I need three volunteers. You guys didn't know I was going to do this. There goes Lexi, Terry, Paxton. Okay, there's three. You guys are fast. Come on up. Wait. Come up. Give them a big hand. I can't believe how much courage you guys have. And Lexi just got a new job. She's been so full of courage lately. I know. It's like, yeah, thanks, Saxon. Y'all can face them. Because I want to bless you guys.
I've been blessed just by being here.
I know. I will bless you more. And Harvey and I didn't plan this. So I'm giving you an assignment. I have three $100 gift cards that I want you guys to ask the Lord and give them away. Okay? And you can do it in here. You can do it later. You can think about it. You're going to give those away. And Harvey just told the truth. How do you get blessed? Yeah. Three people believe it. I knew I should have got men. Can I have three male volunteers? All right. Thank you, guys. Give them a big hand. All right. Okay. Oh, that was, I didn't know it was going to go that way. That's what you get for letting a teacher play. Guys, I want you to know something. We've been talking about this, and it's such a big deal. This is the biggest deal there is. God created you for a purpose, and it was to bring life to the world. You know, remember Adam and Eve when they messed up, they sinned, and Eve believed Satan. Remember when God found them in the garden after they ate from the apple of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God went looking for them, and he said, "Where are you guys at?" Now, of course, God knew they were at, but he said, "Well, okay, where are you at as a person?" And you know what? The first thing that they both said revealed where they were at as a person. Do you remember what they said? Adam said, it was the woman you gave me who told me to do it. See, he didn't want blame. He felt guilt. He felt shame. He felt messed up. And what's the first thing he did when you feel that way? You start pointing at other people. You start judging other people. And instantly that's not called moonlighting, gaslighting. It's called something now. There's a new word for it. It is gaslighting? Okay. He starts saying, "It's the woman. It's the woman. It's the woman." And I can understand why he would do that. Did y'all just see what happened up here? It's the women. And then what did the women do? What did the girl do? What did Eve do? "It was Satan. He lied to me." Yeah. Bam. Listen, he lied to me. Well, what did you think the father of all lies would do? If his lips are moving, he's lying. How many of you have Satan speak to your mind? You know you do, because anytime you judge yourself, anytime you feel shame, anytime you feel guilt, that comes from him. And his lips are moving, he's lying. You see, but that's what we do, is we don't believe who we are. And that began this terrible deal. And So Satan, God had a plan. He planted a seed at the very beginning of creation that you and I are getting to experience the harvest of that seed today in our lives. Because you know what God said? Look what God said. He said, "Cursed are you because you've done this. Cursed are you." Now, he's not talking to Adam and Eve. Guys, where do we get off that he's talking to us? He's talking to Satan. He says, "Satan, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, strife between you and the woman." Isn't that interesting? Between your offspring and hers. And then God planted a seed. He said, "You know what? And her offspring's going to crush your head, Satan." And that didn't mean kill him dead. That meant destroy that way of thinking that you infected humanity with whenever you lied to Eve and said, "Eve, you're not enough. You need to do more. You need to spend some more time looking in the mirror before you go out in public, lady." That's what Satan did. Satan said, "You're not smart enough. You're weaker. You're the weaker sex. And so you got to prove how strong you are. You have to validate your existence. You have to make excuses." And God said, "Guess what? her offspring is going to crush your head. There's going to be a day when Eve's going to have a child. And that child is going to crush the judgment and the way of thinking that has destroyed humanity. Do you know how we are destroyed? We're destroyed from the inside out, not the outside in. Do you understand that? You know, the law says, be righteous on the outside, and that'll make you righteous on the inside. Jesus said, accept my righteousness by faith. It's a free gift. It's the whole purpose of Christmas. Accept my righteousness, and you'll be righteous on the inside. And guess what happens as you become righteous on the inside and you begin to realize that? Your outside will be dictated by what you believe. That's why Paul said, guys, be transformed and do right. No, that is not what he said. He said, you will be transformed, you'll be changed by the transformation of the way you think, your mind. And so, guys, there's this battle we've been on this whole Christmas season, is every time you see a Christmas tree, a Christmas light, a Christmas scripture, a Christmas shirt, this is my Christmas shirt, this is as fancy as I get. I'm going to remember, it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. That's who I am. I'm not my behavior. I'm not what my past. I'm not what other people say about me. I'm who Jesus says I am. And not only do I believe that about me, I believe that about those two little girls. And I believe it about you. And I believe it about the guy on the street who's running around like a crazy man. I believe it about him. That the truth is, there's something inside of him, because I know he was created in Christ's image and his likeness. I know who you are. Well, I'm not acting like it. Yeah, you're not. You know, you're not. But that doesn't mean you're going to stay there, because God has a plan. And so today I want to talk about that a little bit, because I've heard us say this. I have this thought too in very subtle ways. Yeah, but I'm not righteous. I'm just a human. I'm not Jesus. Wait a second. Wait a second. You are who God says you are. And the first thing we do is we try to say we're not Jesus. Jesus was, there's no other Jesus. There's only one Savior. That was him. That was the human Jesus. But the truth is, Jesus said when he died, you died with him. When he rose from the dead, you raised with him. So I just want to make sure that wasn't me. It could be me making that noise. I'm okay. So I look at this. But what about sin? I have sin in my life. I'm not the hope of glory. I'm not Jesus. Well, I like 1 John 4:17. John says, as he is, so are we in this world. You know what the Bible says? I love these verses. And Jesus asked us this. And I thought this was a great statement. I talked to my grandson about this morning. Somebody asked Jesus, Jesus, describe the kingdom of God. You're the Messiah. What's the kingdom of God? And you know, Jesus is so smart and so wise. He's the Messiah and he is God. He would have the most unbelievable answer to that question. So deep. And Jesus said, okay, I'll describe it. How can I do it? How can I illustrate it? Verse 31. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted in the ground, the smallest of all seeds, and it becomes the largest of all garden plants, and it grows long branches, and the birds can make nest in its shade. And we're all like, what? That's the kingdom of God? It's like a tiny seed that gets planted and grows big, and birds sit in the tree. What's he talking about? You know, in the kingdom of God, the seed principle is true. Some of us are judging ourselves because we're still a small seed. But the truth is, the seed is going to grow, and it's supernatural. The mustard plant usually isn't the biggest tree in the garden, but when Jesus plants it, it's going to grow. Like, God has a purpose and a plan for humanity, and it's to release his kingdom in this world. And we're in that process, and so are you right now. Well, I'm not there yet. Well, Jesus said, he who began the good work in you. You see, God has started this. His name was Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he was born. We're celebrating his birth again this year. Guess what? He planted a seed, and he's in you. And that seed is growing. And God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And every single kid in this room is important. It doesn't matter this performance is, I've watched them practice. It's really going to be worth your time. They do great, and you see God in them when they're doing it. But it's not perfect. It's not Broadway. No. But there's a seed in those kids. Well, they're not behaving. Oh, great. Guess how they're going to grow? One day, Atlas will learn not to run up front while somebody's speaking and talk to them. Yeah. That's his purpose, is to grow. You know your purpose is to grow? That God's shaping you and he's shaping me. So I love that. So I just want to look at this. This is who you are. And we've been talking about this for a long time. Who do you see when you see yourself? This is who God sees you as. For God made Christ, who never sinned. He was perfect. He fulfilled every requirement of the law. Did something no human had ever been able to do or ever would be able to do. Jesus said, I'll do it, Dad. I'll go to earth. I'll be born a man just like anybody else, born of a woman. And I'll fulfill the law perfectly. And that became the offering for sin. It pleased God. It pleased God that Jesus became a man. He became the second Adam. And when you're born again, you become a member of his family. Now, here's what he says. He did that so we could be made right with God through Christ. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? You know what you and I are doing? We're thinking about what we did last night. We're thinking about what we've got in the car, or maybe what you've got in your purse or in your pocket. We're thinking about, I was going to quit that, but I'm going to quit. I'm New Year's resolution. I'm quitting this year. And so that'll make me righteous, because, righteousness comes from what you do, right? Isn't that what the Satan tells us every day? You can tell your righteousness by how you behave. You can tell your righteousness by the way you think. You can tell your righteousness by how you perform. And what does Scripture say? We could be made right with God through Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. If God made you right, what part did you have to do with it? It doesn't say, you did better, that's why you're righteous. No, it says Jesus made you right. It was through Christ. But somehow the enemy has convinced us we have to do, just like he did Eve, he convinced her, Eve, you've got to do something to be approved by your dad, to get approval, to be loved. And so she ate from that tree. Guys, it's how we judge ourselves. And then he says this, it's so much like Christmas. I really do trust those ladies going to give those gift cards away. Maybe before you leave here. I don't know, but Terry, do you have all three cards? Oh, okay. I've watched her play poker before. She's good. You'd never know when she took your card from you. It's amazing. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. You didn't make yourself right with God. Jesus did it without your permission before you were ever born. Well, God can't do that. He's God. He did it. In his wisdom, that was a good idea. He said, son, give yourself and lay your life down for my kids. And Jesus said, yeah, Dad, I will. And God said, that's an offering that's acceptable to me. And it's funny. We'll go into that more after the first of the year. And then he says this, he made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Are you pure? I mean, if that's a serious question, because some of you guys, if I could read your minds right now, I'd agree with you. No, you're not. You are not pure. But I agree with him. You are pure. What'd you do to become pure? We're going to go around this tree again, because I've been going around it for about 25 years. And every time I go around that tree, it comes back to the same thing. He made us pure. He made us pure. It's not what I did. It's not what I say. It's not what I think. He made me pure. Yeah, but you're not pure. Okay, let's go over this again. Jesus made me pure. Yeah, but I know. You know, doesn't that get frustrating? Except it really doesn't. It's like, that's love. Jesus gave you a free gift. It's purity, it's holiness, it's righteousness. It's a future and a destiny and a purpose. And you don't have to worry about it, because he said he's going to complete the work that he started in you. Even if you know my past, Bobby, he still made me pure. I'm sorry. I had to pick on Bobby because he's here. It's like, he came to watch his old granddaughter. Or did you come to hear me preach? Thanks, Bobby. All right. And then the last verse, you've already read this. It's up there on the board. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, wait. You mean sin doesn't matter? I didn't say that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you where bondage and sin comes from. It comes from not believing who you are. It comes from not believing in the power of what Jesus did for the human race. You have to believe in him. And as you believe that, and as you begin to believe it, all of a sudden, I don't want to do the stuff I used to do. I mean, I actually make fun of you guys sometimes, like, yeah, I used to play cards and I was really bad. I'm really bad at it. If you want to win money playing poker, play with me, except for I cheat. And Bobby, you weren't with me today. I'm with my three amigos, and we're playing cards with Air Force guys, because those guys would drink a lot, and they're easy to cheat because they're drunk. They don't see you. And we're taking this guy's money, right, which was not much money, okay? I was a teenager. But we're taking it, and the guy gets up, and he goes back into – and we're in his apartment. He goes into his bedroom, and he comes back, and he sits down at the table, and he lays a pistol on the table. All of a sudden, we start losing. And when we got out of there, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore, because I'm fixing to get shot for $20. You know, for $200, I might get shot, but not $20. Guys, God has a plan for your life, and he's already done it. He's waiting for you to say yes to the beautiful gifts he's giving. Just say yes. Just say yes to him, and he made you right. He made you right with God by faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. Galatians 2:16. Guys, when you begin to believe who you are in Christ, you'll want to obey the law. I don't want to take people's money by cheating at cards anymore. So, I mean, I'll take your money playing cards, but not cheating. Actually, I don't like to play cards. I lose all the time. But, guys, I want to. I want to take care of kids. I want to be kind. I want to give. I want to. I want to. You know, Jesus changes your want to as you believe in the power of what he did for you, as you believe in the power of the name of his son, and he's invited you into his family. You're his child. You're his brother. You're seated with him on a throne. That's who you are, and nothing about that changes. So we're not going to do Ephesians 2:4. I would like to, but let me just want to tell you one thing before we go, because I'm going to have to, we want to do this with the kids. Who you are is determined by Jesus Christ and what he did. That's the essence of who you are. Now, where you're living and walking today, that's still in progress. That's not bad. That's God's plan. He said he's going to continue the work he began in you until he sees it through to completion when you meet Jesus face to face. So every one of us still have issues. We're still in progress. We're still growing. That's why he said, why would you hold grudges against others when you've been forgiven? When we watch these kids, they're growing, they're learning, they're learning how to function in society, and it's fine. It's good. It's actually good as you watch them grow. Parents, yeah, if you need to instruct your children, go ahead and do it. We'll all wait. Every one of us either was a kid, actually every one of us was a kid ourselves at some time, and I wasn't a perfect kid. Dana thinks I was, but don't tell anybody. She's my little sister. No, I wasn't a perfect kid. I remember my older sister trying to talk my parents out of whipping me because she felt so much compassion because I got so many spankings. And I used to be like, what are you, an idiot? I did that. I deserve that spanking. But she just had such a big heart, she couldn't take it. Guys, God looks at you sometimes as you're going through your process, and I'm sure he doesn't. He's like, would you just believe who you are? Would you just believe in what Jesus did? And then I'm going to grow you and create in you the very things that will bring you joy and peace and hope and life. So what does it mean to be righteous? It's a big deal. It's the ability to stand before God, okay? It's the ability to... right standing before God. And I wrote these down because I think it's important. Righteousness that Jesus gave you gives you the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without any sense of fear. No fear. That's what it means. You don't have fear when you stand in front of the Father, when you know you're righteous, that Jesus made you right. So there's no fear of retribution. There's no fear of what's coming. You can trust Him. It means the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without any sense of guilt. No guilt. Yeah, but I did. Jesus made you righteous. In God's eyes, you're righteous because of what His Son did. Yeah, but no guilt. Not if you believe in Jesus. There's no guilt. The ability to stand in the front in the presence of the Father with no shame. No shame. None. Well, God, how can you live this way? Because of what Jesus did. When you see yourself the way Jesus saw you and the way He sees you, you have no shame. And then the last one is a big, because we live here. It's the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without any sense of inferiority. You're not inferior to anybody. There's nothing about you that's not good enough. That's not enough. Guys, Jesus has done the most amazing thing through His birth. And as we celebrate Christmas, always remember, Christmas is about Christ in us. Man, because of what Jesus did, He's in us and we're in Him. And when God looks at us, He sees Jesus, His righteousness, His holiness, His purity. That's who you really are. And so remember that. Christmas is a great place. So so parents with children that need to get dressed, would you guys take them back? There you go. And we're going to be patient and wait. I think I'll... Uh-oh. Yeah. I knew you guys... I was trying to think of a joke. I do know a joke. Who's there? Was that Bill? Did you do that? No. Oh, great. Great. He doesn't get to come back, Dakota. Next time, take him down. No, guys, it really is true. We're going to be talking about this coming year, something that has been probably the most powerful encounter with God I've ever had in my life has been over the last 15 years. And God has turned my way of thinking upside, right side up, I think. You know, I think for most of us, we lived in this world that we believed obeying the law was what made us right with God. And we didn't believe that having faith in what Jesus did made us right with God. I think we did it for going to heaven. Like, y'all are evangelicals. I'm an evangelical. We were absolutely on track with that. And that's where we were. I think in the world, that's where the Holy Spirit was. When Jesus died for us, and so we know it's for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And that word saved there, we narrowed it down to just mean going to heaven. And it does mean eternity. But that isn't what the word means in Greek and Hebrew. Salvation there is every part of your life. It's like when Paul said, God has things greater and more abundant than we could ever dream or think of in store for us. And you know how it happens? The same way we got saved. We didn't know that. We've been trying hard to be righteous. And Jesus said, believe. Believe. Well, wait, Jesus, that's what? Well, that's the same thing. I don't know how we all made that jump in our lives when we were saved with our definition of salvation, which is living with God forever and eternity because of the blood of His Son. And when we have faith and we believe in what His Son did, we now get to spend eternity with God. Well, did you know that your life here on earth is determined by the same thing? The power of God released in me and you on earth happens through the same process of us believing. Do you believe you're righteous? Do you believe you're holy? Do you believe because of what Jesus did for you? And so when I look at those verses, there's hundreds of them, right? There are just hundreds. Like, I went through this pretty fast. Paul said in Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Obeying the law is external. When you believe in your heart, when you go through this long process, guys, we're so much ingrained in living by a mixture of law and grace. It's so much in my mind that it's taken me years to get to even where I am right now. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. I want to grow. I want to be patient. I want to be kind. I want to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to set captives free. God, how do I do that? You know how I do it? By the same way I got saved not to go to hell and go to heaven. It's by believing in what Jesus Christ did. Well, Jesus says you're holy. So what happens when I mess up? What happens if you fall flat on your face? I mean, flat on your face. The deepest fall you can have. You know what happens? Instantly, the enemy starts speaking into our minds. And he judges us. He tells us we're not enough. He tells us we'll never get there. He tells us we're short of everything. He reminds us of all this stuff constantly. And so we're laying on the ground, on our face, being crushed by these intrusive thoughts. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit's going, yeah, but you're righteous. You're righteous. Get up. Get up. Tell the devil that he's a liar. With respect, don't cuss at him. Just tell him, you're a liar. I'm righteous. Yeah, but I saw what you did yesterday. I did too. And so did Jesus. He was with me. He's in my heart. He was with me when I did it. And because he's with me, I'm righteous because of what he did, not because of what I did. And we keep going back and we put our doing above his doing. And guys, I know it sounds, yeah, but what's going to keep you from being a sinner? You changed my heart and I don't want to sin. Change my heart and I want to be kind. I want to be gracious. I want to pray for the sick. I want to give. Guys, there's a new thing. There's a new wave coming that's going to change the world. And so, I'm going to, Bobby, would you help me? Yeah, please. You're going to take this. Oh, you could just set it by Jeannie over there, please. Thank you. I'm taking. Are they getting ready to come, Ricardo?
Yes, they're outside.
Oh, they're outside. Are you guys ready? Yeah. I'm going to get this out of the way.